So would you like to have your Bibles open at that reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? And I'll just draw your attention to the sixth verse. So 2 Corinthians 4, that's our text for this morning. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I'm going back to the text that I sort of began to open up a little bit on Christmas Day morning. You'll probably remember that I married it with the verses in Isaiah 40, which, as Dave pointed out, the emphasis was, "Behold your God, look, here is your God." And you'll remember that in that message I said to everyone, you should be very careful that you always hold on to the description which God has given of himself. And therefore you need to tie the church down, you need to tie the minister down always, and make sure that he at all times, the church at all times, is giving you an accurate description of God as he has described himself. It matters not very much what the church describes God to be. What matters is how has God described himself in his word. And then for me, for us to make sure that we dovetail our description of God as exactly as we can with the description which God has given of himself. Let me ask all of you, if you don't care too greatly about this morning, who wishes to be misrepresented? Who wants to be misrepresented? Who wants someone to describe you in a way that is far from accurate? Now that's you. How must the Lord feel? What do we think of this? And as we go out of this year and into the new one, at least we might make this New Year's resolution. Let us determine that at all times we will do everything not to misrepresent the Lord, but that we will find the description which he has given of himself in his word, and that we will follow it and we will articulate that. And then we might be able to say, as Isaiah says in the 40th chapter, "Behold your God, here is your God." And that means then that when I have said, "Behold your God," and I send someone to look for him, when they have searched for him, because the Bible says, if you shall search for him, if you shall seek for him with all of your heart, you will truly find him. That person needs to be able to find the God who has revealed himself. And not some ridiculous invention which this church, or any other church for that matter, might have produced. Now, the reason I read Romans chapter 1 this morning was to show you the discrepancy which exists between God as he really is, and we'll see this in 2 Corinthians 4, and the God who we have imagined. And you'll remember in Romans chapter 1, I read to you, Paul says that those who have not received him have suppressed the truth. They have actually suppressed it. And even as I preach now, there may be some of you who are at this very moment suppressing the truth. You don't want to hear it. And Paul says the result is, listen carefully, they neither glorified him and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God. They exchanged it. So they suppressed the truth and then they exchanged the truth of the glory of God for images. This means that the faithful church, the faithful preacher, has to do everything to set forth before people the true God and say, "Behold your God." This means, as I've just said, that when the congregation is sent away to seek after the Lord and search for him, that they will find that true God. So this morning, I want to say to believer and unbeliever alike, seek after the Lord. And when you find him, come and tell me if what I am saying is true. Behold your God. Here is your God. Now, if we look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's obvious that Paul's concern was for them to understand that light had been received. Light has been received into their lives. But the point is, if you look at the text, it's not just to receive light, but it is so that light, listen carefully, might be to a specific purpose. You look at the text, it is to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. The purpose of receiving that light is to receive the knowledge of God's glory. Fallen man is so corrupted, he's so sinful, he suppresses the truth of the glory of God, the knowledge of God's glory, so that when you say my neighbor won't come or won't respond to the gospel, it is the suppression of the truth of the glory of God that is staring them in the face. Now let me tell you what that person says. That person says, I can't allow the true God to make an appearance. Why do you think people trot off in their hundreds and their thousands to the local Anglican church? Because the true God is not revealed. Can't allow the true God to be revealed. And so he is suppressed. Can't allow it. And in effect, what sinful man says is this: you stay down, God. You stay down. I suppress you. You stay down. Don't you dare come up in all of your glory and show yourself to me. I will suppress you. I will keep you down at all costs. You must stay down. Because if you turn up in all of your glory, I will be blown away by you. This is the truth, friends. This is Romans chapter 1. And I say to you this morning, it is my job to say, behold your God. Here is your God who comes to shine in hearts, in lives, to do what? To do what the text so clearly says, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now the text says, God made his light shine in our hearts. So I want to ask this question. I can ask it of everyone, young and old, Christian and non-Christian. Has the light of Christ shone in your heart? Has the light been switched on? I can do it easily for you, can't I? You know when a light's switched on and when it's switched off. So switch it on, switch it off. I'm asking you, has the light been switched on in your heart? Not do I belong to a denomination, not do I attend church, not do my mum and dad believe, not do I have a christening or a baptism. I'm not asking that. I'm asking this, has the light shone into your heart? Will you notice, please, this is to help you, that the text says, God made his light shine. God is the one alone who can overturn my darkness. He's the only one who can switch the light on in my life. And let me tell you how momentous this is. I'll show you how big it is. God is the one who makes the light to shine. Now, I don't need to turn you to the book of Genesis. I'll just quote it. You know it very well. For God to make the light shine in our hearts is as momentous as what we read in Genesis chapter 1. Listen to it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. That's just like our lives without Christ. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was his light that removed the darkness. And it is exactly the same in a person's life. The text says, let light shine out of darkness. He made his light to shine in our hearts. Now this morning, if there is darkness within us, I promise you it will never be removed. Unless, like Genesis chapter 1, God says, let there be light. And that light shines into our lives. That, in essence, in many ways, is what makes a man or a woman a true Christian. Can you say this morning that by nature my life is formless and darkness prevails there? If that's true, and you know that God makes his light to shine, ask him to make his light to shine in your life. Ask him to do it. Otherwise, listen to me, you're suppressing the truth even as I preach. You're saying, don't let this God of glory come up before my face. I cannot bear it. I will not look at that God. I must suppress it. I'm saying to you this morning that the only thing that will remove your darkness is if his light comes and shines into your light, into your darkness, and defeats it. That light of God must defeat my darkness. That means, friends, listen to me carefully, you're wholly dependent upon him, not upon me, not upon this church. I am throwing you into his hands, into his arms, but you're suppressing the truth, perhaps. Do you love your darkness so much? Do you prefer your darkness so much? Do we love our darkness so much that we would suppress the truth for the rest of our lives? Let me tell you, if we suppress the truth for the rest of our lives, we will certainly know it, because it will take us out of this life and into an eternity that will swallow us and swallow us in hell itself. God alone can make his light shine. I just draw your attention to the word heart. The light of the knowledge. Let light shine out of darkness. He made his light shine in our hearts. That means in our lives. That doesn't mean in some place of feeling. That means in the entirety of my being. In the completeness of who I am. This tells you that Christ is not external to me. He's not put on Sunday morning. He's not put on for religious occasions. But that he is actually in the entirety of my life. He is within me. He is within my thinking and my behavior and my manners. He is in my life. You don't think the word heart means this thing that beats? Of course not. It is Christ is in the entirety of my being. Wouldn't it be easy if Christianity were just reduced to the externals, all the things that we do, all the things that we participate in, and we could sign up to this and we could say that we've been there and I've got my confessional for this and I've got that all nicely packaged on the outside, and that would neatly get me to heaven? No chance. Let light shine out of darkness. He made his light shine in our hearts. That's the point. Now, as I said a few moments ago, the purpose of this light is quite clear. The light is not to furnish me, listen carefully now, it's not designed to furnish me with a good feeling. That's why I don't particularly pay any interest to people say to me, I haven't got any good feelings at the minute. I don't care about your feelings particularly. That's not what God's interested in. The light is not to give me an experience which might be somehow mystical, and I can say to you that I've got an aura about me. No, I'm not interested in that. The light in the text is to give the knowledge of God's glory. Because that's what it says. It is to give the knowledge, not the feeling, the knowledge. If you tell me that you've got feelings that come up from the knowledge, all well and good. But the text says to give the knowledge of God's glory. Listen carefully now. Here is the sinner what I once was. I suppress the truth. I cannot bear for it to come out. I cannot bear for it to be seen. Then God comes and he shines in my heart. To what end? Ah, to give the knowledge of the glory of God. That's what the work is for. Sinful man has suppressed the knowledge of the glory of God. The Lord comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. He changes a man or a woman. He converts them to Jesus Christ. And he gives them the knowledge of God's glory. The restoration of the soul is to produce in it the knowledge of God's glory. So I'm asking you, are you a Christian? Now let me just say something about knowledge. Don't knock it. Don't knock it. Don't beat it down. Knowledge is like this. I'm now informed, whereas previously I was not informed. I'm no longer ignorant. I'm no longer in the dark. I have obtained knowledge. I know what God is like, so that now I can say to someone, behold your God. I put it to you. How many of you can go from here and say to someone, behold your God, I'll tell you what he's like? That's the challenge. That's got to be the challenge in 2015. Can you go from here and say, behold your God. Here is your God. I'll tell you what he is like. When I ask or I inquire about someone as to whether this person is a Christian, I might say to somebody in the church regarding someone who's made inquiries about the Christian faith, do you think that person is a Christian? This is how I express it. I express it like this. Do they know the Lord? Because that's what the text says. This is the knowledge of the glory of God. Do they know the Lord? Is that what you say? Do they know? Because he shined his light in us so that we would know the glory of God. A Christian is someone who knows the Lord. Listen carefully again. This is the person now who no longer suppresses the knowledge of the glory of God, but the glory of God now shines in that person's life. And so it means, like, if I can put it like this, it's a good and it's a biblical question to ask, and I could ask it of you now. I could ask it of all of you. In the light of the text, do you know the Lord? If you know him, you're a Christian. Now, I'm going to teach you something, if you're willing to learn. I'm sure you are. The text says the knowledge of the glory of God. This tells you that it's not an aura. It's not a bright shining light. Because the text says it's the knowledge of the glory. This is something that you can know. And on Sunday just gone, I said, in effect, it is not the glory to be thought of as a non-entity. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It is like this. The glory of God is the very weight of the godness of God, of his perfections, of his character. How heavy, how weighty do we find the truth of God's character to be? If I just said to you this day, or for the rest of 2015, we'll consider the greatness of the glory of the character of God with regard to his sovereignty. We'll be at it all year. It is so big. And then if I said to you, what about his love? The perfection of his love, the weight of it, or the perfection of his mercy, or the perfection of his power. The weight, that's the idea. His mercy is just as his holiness, and I could go on, all of it revealed. so that we might be able to say that he has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. Now, have you suppressed this all of your life? If you're not suppressing it today, and you've got some comprehension of the knowledge of, you know, the Lord, if you're still suppressing it, you haven't got the faintest idea of the glory of God, you don't know the Lord. Before I was converted to Christ, I didn't want to acknowledge God, I didn't want to glorify him, I'd made my own gods, just as Paul says. And there may be some of you like this morning, and God has not shined in your heart. He will shine in your heart, but you must go to him, and you must ask him to do that shining. And when he shines, he will shine with regard to his own glory. On Christmas Day past, I said, this is why you must never pay any attention to those churches where, listen carefully again, where the stars are all at the front. You see, you know very well not to bother with those churches. Do you know why? They've already suppressed the glory of God. They need somebody in their star-spangled outfit. They need a star off, whatever it's called, X Factor or whatever, to come and give the place the life. What we need is we need the glory of God to give the life. And then we will be excited and the knowledge of his glory will be displayed to us and we will have set before us, behold, your God. It's a wonderful text. This. The text says quite clearly, this glory is displayed in the face of Christ. And so, this is my final thought for all of you. This glory can only be displayed in the face of Christ. The face of Christ, it doesn't mean, of course, that you should think about his features, because we don't know what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. It means that the only way you can comprehend this glory is if you make a study of Christ, if you look at him. How many things can you say you really know well by just glancing at them? Half the church's problems and the problems of most Christians are only glancing at the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't really make a study of him. They don't look at him long enough. You have to look long and hard at him. The Apostle Paul says this glory is displayed in the face of Christ. Just quickly, do you know what it means to display? To display something is to set it high. Is to exhibit it. To reveal it. To show it off. The display of the glory of God is only in the face of Christ. No wonder you won't have a comprehension of the glory of God if you've not looked at the face of Jesus. If you've only glanced at him a little bit, you'll have very little comprehension of the glory of God. This morning, somebody will say, it was when I saw displayed the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that I got an understanding of this truth. It is for this reason, I'm not trying to force anybody into a mould, but it is for this reason that I very rarely use the word God. I do use the word God, but not very often. I mostly use the expression the Lord. Because God's glory is seen in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recently, I spoke to some Jehovah's Witnesses. And I asked them, where does your commission come from? And I said, well, I know where your commission comes from. Your commission comes from Isaiah 43. where Jehovah says, "You shall be my witnesses, saith Jehovah." And I said, but that's not where my commission comes from. My commission comes from Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, "You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so we are, and so we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is in him that we see the glory of God. And it's no wonder that so many people have little comprehension of the glory of God, because they're not looking at the face of Jesus. The glory of God becomes very tangible if you study Christ. And I would say this, that our darkness or our light is equal to our proximity to Christ. Your darkness or the light within you this morning is equal, if you like, to the proximity that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ, to how much you've gazed upon his beauty and looked at him and studied him. So for 2014... well, what can we say? We can say that the Lord has been very good to us. What did we set before us this year more than anything else? We set the Lord Jesus Christ before us, didn't we? What should we do in 2015? Set the Lord Jesus Christ before us. Who have we spent our time looking at? Who have we spent our time gazing at this year? We've spent our time gazing at the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who haven't, you suppress the truth. I'm coming to the end. You've suppressed the truth. You can't let the truth out, because if the truth comes out, it will blow you away. This is the nature of the Christian gospel. You'll have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it is in that focusing and that looking at him in which we are truly saved by the grace of God. And so as we leave 2:14 and go into 2:15, may it be the Lord Jesus Christ whose face we see. There's nothing particularly attractive about this place, and definitely nothing attractive about the man who preaches, that's for sure. But there is so much to be attracted by in the person who is the Saviour. If you follow him and he is your Lord today, go on following him. Look into his face. Study Christ. Make him your focus, not just for 2:15, but for the rest of your days. And if you don't know him, don't suppress the truth anymore. Don't suppress it. Come and ask for his light to shine upon you, because he is the one alone who can make it to shine. May God bless his word to us. God bless this church and the lives that God brings into it. And that to the glory of God.